I don't know. I mean, that's what me and Ryan Gosling have to do, you know? Like, I pretend he's ugly.
Yeah.
He pretends I don't exist. Like, we have to do that out of respect for our partners.
But you have that memory together. At least that's something that you have.
I already like her more than both of you.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, that's great.
CPS though, am I still?
You're about to listen to some banjo music and do some Shelby Foot.
Oh, you think that's going to happen tonight? I'm going to talk about the Civil War and how important it was for the state of Georgia to capitulate to Sherman as he burnt it from Atlanta all the way to Savannah. I don't think so. No, more importantly than Shelby Foot, we have somebody joining us tonight. Are you officially a new cast member, or are you just kind of waiting in? You let us know. Ladies and gentlemen, let's introduce Lizzie.
Hello, Lizzie.
Liz. Liz.
It's Lizzie.
Lizzie?
I guess I'm the new cast member.
Welcome. And
Thank you for having me.
You have way more improv experience than all of us combined.
Yes, and?
No, but. And also, stand-up comic for a while. Tell us about yourself, Lizzie, and tell the audience about yourself and some of your background.
Well, I am a stay-at-home mom of two. I homeschool my youngest one. My oldest one's 18. I did do stand-up for a little while. I quit about 5 years ago. I also haven't done improv in about 5 years. But I do some film work as well. And yeah.
And you came to us via our friend Josh Warren from ASS.
Yes, Action Show Studios. I used to do a lot of stuff with them as well. And he's a good friend of mine.
He's a good guy. He's a very good guy, very talented. And we love Josh. And he'll be on here probably soon because he's got a lot going on. And I believe that Dustin and I may be going to visit him on Friday, but we'll talk about that more another time. But welcome aboard. We hope you like it. I know the audience will like you. We all like you, so.
Thank you.
I don't know about Jeff. He's cagey.
I already like her more than both of you.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, that's great.
Jeff's like that. He doesn't like us very much. So let's just get right into it then. Everybody watch the Josie and the Pussycat space launch on Monday. That's what that ship looks like, the Blue Origin spaceship that Jeff Bezos owns. All the billionaires own space rockets. What does NASA do? NASA, what do they do now? Elon's actually has functionality. Bezos's Blue Origin rocket, which is it either looks like a Hitachi wand or Josie and the Pussycats in outer space. But his is space tourism, I think. And so the media went totally nuts about five. I think it was.
Is it
five.
Even space?
No, they don't go into space. They go,
I know.
I think, 60 some miles up into the air. And they're weightless. And then Katy Perry sings to you. And then you come back down. The news media were calling them the crew. They were the first all-female crew, which is not true, which is not true. Not that I'm knocking the how cool it is to be able to go into space, but really, I mean, everybody was rich except for the people who got free rides. It was really Jeff Bezos saying, my wife-to-be that we're spending $600 million on our wedding, by the way, she has a voice, too. And we want her to be out there in the forefront. She's not just going to be my billionaire wife. She's leading space missions.
Space missions. It took Katy Perry going weightless for a large portion of the world to decide that the world is not flat.
Oh, yes. That's what it took?
Yeah.
Not science?
No. Who needs, you know, hundreds of years of science and all that education? All you had to do was, you know, send Katy Perry up.
Yeah.
Watch her float around for a while.
And Gail King, Oprah's friend. But she's more than Oprah's friend. She's
a respected journalist.
She is. She was always a journalist. She didn't just meet Oprah and all of a sudden get TV jobs. She was a television journalist and a reporter. What is she on, CBS This Morning? Yep. Or called that nobody watches?
What I think is awesome is that it took Katy Perry going to space to to feel connected and love for the first time, which I've been waiting on her to do that. But what's hilarious is she says, you never feel a love like that. It took her going to space and getting that far away from her children to feel love for the first time.
She has kids. She didn't feel that when she was married to Russell Brand?
Yeah.
Guess not.
Who's she with now? She's with Legolas, right?
Legolas, yeah.
Well, hey, she's connected to love now. She knows what it's like to be weightless. She is, I think, on the same level as Neil Armstrong. When he stepped on the moon, he said, someday Katy Perry is going to take a space tourism rocket and almost get into outer space and then land back down, just like William Shatner did.
She's slowly losing her fan base.
Her last album was a flop, but I loved
it. Shatner appreciated it. He had a lifetime's worth of curiosity and actually had some tangible connection to space, even if it was only in the industry. But her, I mean, all of them, I don't get. They're taking, what was it she said? They're taking beauty into space.
Their rocket was literally shaped like a penis.
Yes,
exactly.
Remember when Buzz Aldrin sang, it's a wonderful world? Well, they went to the moon.
Yep. Remember when he sang Roar?
Yeah.
Or Firework.
Gayle King said her favorite part of the journey, she doesn't want to call it a ride, she wants to call it a journey. Her favorite part was when Katy Perry sang It's a Wonderful World. And I feel like she could have like invited Katy Perry over to her house to sing that.
She had to do it in space, almost space. It does look like Josie and the Pussycats rocket. If you've never seen that cartoon, Josie and the Pussycats in outer space, and they were a band, but it was sort of like Scooby Doo. Did they have a dog? No, they had a cat.
Yeah,
Sebastian.
Yeah, the cat Alex and Alexander. No, it was. They were twins. Casey Kasem did one of them. Anyway, well, now there's a conspiracy. We're not going to get into it, but there's a conspiracy that they didn't really go up. And if you go on to Instagram, which is now becoming TikTok, Reels is sort of turning into TikTok now. So you can go find that for yourself.
Where do you find these conspiracies since your website shut down?
I was just going to say that. 4chan is kill. That is an old meme speak, something that used to be on 4chan a long time ago when B, the random board, was actually fun. Now it's just not fun. But 4chan, taken down by hackers, it has yet to reemerge. And allegedly all the Jannies, which is what they call mods, have been doxxed, and they just have all the databases and everything. Now, it surprises me that 4chan got taken down, but when you see that they had zero security on their website, it doesn't surprise me. But 4chan gone, and I don't know if it's going to come back. But a lot of those people kind of migrated to X once Elon Musk took over. In fact, X is a little bit crazier than 4chan now, if you can believe that. None of you guys go there, right? None of you ever been 4chan people? Have any of you been 4chan people?
No.
No. But I do love that the last post was chicken jockey.
Yeah, I do.
Are you scared about being doxxed?
No, I don't post negative stuff on there. I very rarely post because it's difficult to post from your phone. And if you do, they call you a phone F.
Bundle of sticks.
Yes, that, the bundle of sticks. But sorry, incels, you're going to have to find a new place to go. You can't go to 8chan because they got involved with QAnon. QAnon, by the way, began on 4chan and they got laughed off the board. They were, you know, everybody said, get out of here. They were ridiculed and they went to 8chan. And 8chan is also kill, but that was because of other reasons.
You start 16chan now.
I'm sure there is. There used to be a bunch of them. Now they're not so much. Not so much. The thing I liked about it, once I figured out how to use it, is it archived some of the threads, if not all of them, that were good. It supposedly was anonymous. So who knows if it is or not. Just don't go too far back in what you release. Speaking of, like, Reels and stuff, Andrew Dice Clay has the thing where you guys ever see this on social media where he goes up to people on the street and he goes, were you waiting for the picture with the face? Come on, you know, the face. Well, everybody, because I've been doing Paul Stanley on the radio for 10 years now, everybody's been sending me the video of Dyson, a grocery store in California, and Paul Stanley standing there. And he goes, did you want the picture with the face? And Paul Stanley just goes,
who are you?
And he, and they go back and forth like that. And Dice goes, well, how's Gene?
Who are you?
He had to know that was Dice, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, in the comments of that video, he posted on there and he said, hey, I think they bought it.
Oh, hey, I think they bought it. Wow. That's so nice. But that's so weird. I don't run into celebrities at the grocery store. I saw Lex Luger once, if you remember that. We have other stuff we're going to get to tonight. I answered my own question because Robert Patrick's no longer in Atlanta. He's somewhere else now. But he was in Atlanta, so I wonder what he was working on. He just kept walking. He was, here I am. I'm up on top of Kennesaw Mountain. He walked. He hiked the whole way. You ever done that, Kennesaw Mountain? Get up there to the cannons. Pretty cool up there.
Doesn't he live in Marietta or Alpharetta?
Does he?
I believe he does.
I didn't know that.
He does at least at one point.
He had family here. I knew that.
Yeah, I didn't know that he lived here. I think it's cool when he's just walking around, going to all the places, and then he's in other neighborhoods in town. So. And then I saw he was somewhere else. So maybe he lives here. I didn't know that. And now I feel dumb because I didn't know that he lived here.
I could be wrong.
I'm going to think you're right. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I think you're right. The Coreyverse. We interviewed Corey Feldman. When was that? December?
Yeah, about a week before Christmas, a week or two before Christmas,
We talked to Corey, and he did really well with us, you know, once he opened up and started talking about things. Well, only if there is a time machine. But he was recently on, he was on The Magnificent Others, which is a really good Billy Corgan podcast where he interviews. He's really good at interviewing people. Feldman was good on there. But he was talking about a musician or somebody in, you know, who does a podcast who was making fun of him. It turned out it was Justin Hawkins from Justin Hawkins Rides Again, Justin from The Darkness.
I believe in a thing called love.
Hawkins does a whole mini episode talking about Corey. And, you know, Justin isn't a jerk. But then you go to there's this podcast called Jim and Them that is dedicated solely, as far as I can tell, to talking about Corey Feldman. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, that's all that they talk about, and they have for like a year, 2 years, I think.
Right, and they get pretty decent numbers. And ever since our interview, we seem to end up showing up in their show a lot. They came into my feed the other day, so I watched them talk about the Billy Corgan interview, and they kept using, the first person I see is Dustin, and then I see Steph and Jeff. And you said to me, Dustin, that they use us a lot.
They use that interview a lot. It's in because we're one of the few interviews where, I mean, these guys, you know, their whole thing is to rag on Corey for being a, you know, horrible human being most of the time. And, you know, we interviewed the guy. I can understand why people think he's not likable. I mean, he's a celebrity his entire life, and he believes everything that comes out of his own mouth. But it's funny, they use us as reference to, like, he'll make, like, he said something on the Corgan interview, and they immediately showed us asking him the same question, and he gave a completely different answer
in this interview.
Yeah, so it was supposed to be me originally. I had the offer, but then on second thought they were like, he's just a little bit young, because I was like a year younger than him.
Were there any movies that you tried out for that ended up being classics in the 80s that you didn't get?
No. I mean, pretty much, yeah. Same haircut, same big wheel, same everything, but just wheel. A little bit too small.
Did you audition for Kubrick?
I must have. I would have to have, yeah.
You don't remember?
I don't remember.
What a great lie.
Fair enough. Most of the time they rag on not only Corey, but the people that are interviewing him. And with us, they tolerate us more than anyone else.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Here's some stories that we've been following at the Radio Labyrinth News Desk.
And my first story is that Breakfast Club reunion happened at the Comic-Con.
Chicago.
Yeah, first time in 40 years. All of them have been there. I guess a bunch of them have been at other cons, but this is the first time Emilio Estevez showed up.
Who was the most dominant person on the panel? Molly?
Yeah.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah, I think so. I thought it was interesting. Judd Nelson, who at one point I used to say was my favorite actor. Did you watch it, Lizzie?
Well, I read the article about, is it the 40th reunion?
Yeah. That makes me feel old because the summer it came out on HBO, I think I recorded it. And then we had this ritual. I'd have our friend Nick, Jeff knows him too. Nick would come up and help me with yard work around my house and chores. And then
we trying to earn a few bucks?
Yeah. No, we're trying to quit. We would watch 16 Candles and then we'd watch The Breakfast Club. And I think we did that every day for about a month and a half. Got to the point where you could just quote everything. But that's one of my favorite movies, certainly of that genre from the 80s. And it was cool seeing everybody on stage. I just thought there was something up with Emilio Estevez. Like, I thought he had sort of like a problem, but maybe he doesn't. Maybe he was just...
He's probably uncomfortable because this is the first time being at one of these reunions and everybody else has done several of them.
Yeah. And he was asked about it point blank on stage. You know, why is this the first time you've shown up to one of these? And, you know, his answer was, it's the 40th. You know, it was, plus they were in Chicago. That's where they filmed it. And he felt it all deserved, you know, enough, you know, for him to be there this time. As Kevin Smith moderated a John Hughes memorial in New York. And he was the only one that didn't show up.
Right.
Yeah.
I saw his press conference for announcing Young Guns, the new Young Guns, and he seemed pretty normal to me. He didn't seem so fidgety or hands in the pocket, but maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention to it. I don't know.
I think you're probably right. He was probably just sort of nervous being up there. You know, Ally Sheedy has that effect on people.
He hasn't done much in the last several years.
Mm-mm.
No.
I think Anthony Michael Hall is probably the biggest star out of all of them now.
What, Judd Nelson isn't working anymore?
Well, he's working, but he's not working like Anthony Michael Hall is. He's in, what, three different series right now? Two different series right now?
He's always been the best actor out of all of them, I think, anyway. Although, you know, Emilio is pretty good. He looks just like Martin Sheen now. Like, Charlie Sheen didn't grow in to look like his dad, but Emilio sure did.
Oh, yeah.
I noticed that, too, that Charlie Sheen always looked like his father. But then the older they get, Emilio now looks just like his father.
Yeah. And I don't look like anybody but a drug addict. Winning. Chris Columbus, not the explorer, but Chris Columbus, the film director who did Home Alone and Home Alone 2, wants to cut Donald Trump out of Home Alone 2. I don't know why. I know everybody hates him now, or not everybody, but you know what I'm talking about. Certainly Hollywood people don't like him, but he is part of the lore of that film. He's in New York, and it's a sweet, funny little scene. It's Donald Trump, not much of an actor, but not a bad scene. Why do you have to cut it out?
I mean, he didn't want it in there in the first place, and Donald kind of, what's the word? Conned him into doing it by saying the only way that you can shoot in my hotel is to have a scene with me in it.
I thought that was the Plaza, not the Trump Hotel.
It's his.
Does Trump own the Plaza? I swear to God, I thought it was the Plaza. Maybe I'm wrong.
Even back then, when he was making the movie, when they were cutting it and editing it, he put it in, and he wished he hadn't put it in.
Okay.
It's not so much that he wants to cut it out now. It was one of those things where, you know, like George Lucas changed his movies. Star Wars, you know, changed Star Wars because he thought it would be, you know, better now like this. He feels he can't do that because of the repercussions that he might receive for doing it.
Well, then again, I didn't know all that. I just read the clickbait, as I usually do. But just cut it out.
Yeah, of course. That's what I thought.
My thing is if he hated Donald Trump so much back then, why did he use Trump Towers? I don't know. Just sounds weird. It sounds like unnecessary work too.
Well, it's New York, and I mean, if you're going to encapsulate New York, you have to have those iconic, you know, imagery. And at the time, he wasn't anything but a real estate dude, right?
Right.
A lot of commercials.
in commercials and stuff like that in his book or whatever, but it's kind of a non-story.
All right,
but
so hear me out. You can watch it for free, or you can pay a small tariff and see the Trump cameo.
That's one way to do it.
I love tariffs. Why not do that? It's beautiful. like tariff it, I don't know, maybe 80%. Okay, 128%. Okay, 10%. We'll renegotiate. When Chris Columbus comes to the table, we'll talk about it. Yeah, it was the Plaza Hotel, but I didn't know Trump owned it. I thought Leona Helmsley owned it. But then again, I don't remember much. I don't remember much. But Trump at that time was huge. He hadn't had The Apprentice yet, but he was. Everybody loved him from the 80s. A lot of people didn't like him because he was rich. But he was in Pizza Hut commercials. He was a celebrity.
He would do Stern a lot.
Yeah.
I would date my daughter. Look at her. She's so hot. Oh, my God.
White POTUS on Saturday Night Live. Guys, I like it.
I thought it was really clever.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
I thought it was clever. I didn't think it was funny until the end. I didn't laugh until the Tiger Woods.
Trump sitting on the bed all sad.
I thought that was hilarious. Visually, and it was well performed and everything. I just didn't find it amusing until the very end. That was a good punchline. Kenan Thompson did.
Yeah.
What did I do last night? Yeah, baby.
Surprise, it's me, Tiger Woods.
White POTUS, an American Horror Story.
Well, I guess Amy Lou Wood wasn't too happy about it.
She wasn't. Walton Goggins loved it. He said, yeah. What did he call it, spectacular or something on his Instagram? But she did not like it because of her buck teeth. They made fun of her buck teeth.
Yeah.
She doesn't really have. She has gap teeth.
Yeah.
They sent an apology, though, SNL, right?
Right, and Sarah Sherman sent her flowers.
Yeah, she sent her flowers the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then who is spreading the rumors that Walton Goggins and Amy Lou Wood were having problems? Was that Jason Isaacs talking about that?
He was saying that the set was tense.
Yeah.
But he never said anything specifically. I think Dumas, is that how you pronounce it? That celebrity gossip website.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones that say there might have been some hookups between them.
Isn't he married?
Yeah. And that's why his wife made him delete her from all his socials and everything.
Yeah.
My thing is they do talk about each other, like they came into each other's lives for a reason and they were super connected, just like the characters. I'm thinking that probably made his wife uncomfortable. But I mean, it would make me uncomfortable. So maybe he blocked it. Maybe they blocked each other. Mm-hmm. In respect for their partners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it wasn't even that big of a thing. I don't know. I mean, that's what me and Ryan Gosling have to do. You know? Like, I pretend he's ugly.
Yeah.
He pretends I don't exist. Like, we have to do that out of respect for our partners.
But you have that memory together. At least that's something that you have.
And poor Walton, the more I read about his time in doing the White Lotus. I mean, he spent 4 months in Thailand. He didn't come back home. He was there the whole time. And then he had to go through the end and shoot the ending where, you know, spoilers, where she gets shot and he's got to hold her and talk to her. And he had to bring up all of that happened to his first wife. And he had to relive that in his mind. And he thought he was over it, and he did realize that there was a lot of grief there that he wasn't over yet.
Well, he went to Thailand after his wife died, to some of those same exact spots to search for
peace.
Meaning.
Yeah, and he felt like he was reliving it all over again, which is weird, too, because he said when he flew back, he had 4 hours at home, and then he caught a plane to go film The Righteous Gemstones new season.
Damn.
So the first scene that he had was the scene with the jetpacks where he introduces them on stage, and he couldn't make Baby Billy's voice. He lost the character completely and had to relearn it.
That would be very hard to switch that quickly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you guys watch Rogan recently?
I watched clips, and I just put in there a lot of people are saying that guy's a jerk, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, I don't think the guy was a jerk. I mean, the guy actually kind of confronted Rogan right off the bat. I mean, he didn't wait. I mean, it was literally introduced him, and the first thing out of his mouth was, you know, why do you have all these people on here with all the power that you have, broadcasting to all of these people that listen to you so intently, and you give them not misinformation, but you give them information that can be taken multiple ways, and it's not healthy.
Isn't that what a discussion is? Isn't that what Rogan has always done? And he doesn't agree with everybody. He just talks. That's this whole, you shouldn't give somebody a platform that I don't like. That's all I hear.
What he was basically saying was, you haven't grown in your responsibility to your platform. Douglas Murray, and he's a British commentator, so he's looking at this, you know, from the outside in.
Yes.
If he finds something that he does find only interesting, not truthful, but interesting, he runs with it. And in doing that, on a scale that Rogan broadcasts to as many that he does, can lead to, you know, series of misinformation and all of a sudden it being, an, you know, something that people believe when it's not true.
He's mad that Trump was on. And is that a problem, or is he talking about shit like how Rogan doesn't believe we landed on the moon?
Yeah, stuff like that. Not so much the political. I mean, the political things could be thrown and read into that, but it's not. It was more of the, you know, the health things, or people that have ideas that are out there, and instead of being more or critical of them, he builds them up and kind of keeps them rolling, which I understand is part of a conversation. But yeah,
isn't that the old thing of, you shouldn't give a platform to misinformation? Who's the? It's a show. It's a discussion. It's a talk show. He asks questions. He doesn't have any responsibility to fact check everything. Now, during COVID, he was doing that. He was making Jamie check everything. And even then, he got a lot of crap for it. I'm sorry I stepped on you, Lizzie. I'll shut up in a second. But it's just a talk show. He's a comedian and a fight commentator. You know what I mean? He has no responsibility. Now, this guy probably works for the BBC, and he lives in England, where there's restrictions on all these things. And you'll go to jail if you say the wrong thing.
You think he's being sarcastic?
This is what pisses me. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. Joe Rogan has no responsibility. It's up to the viewer to go find out whether what he's saying is true or what isn't true.
Well, that's very true. And in a mindset that you live by, you see that as... You see that as something that would be normal and something that you could look for yourself and find. Problem is, the majority of Rogan's listeners are...
You don't know that. You don't know that a majority of them aren't trying to figure it out.
What this guy was mainly talking about was you bring people on to talk about topics that they have no credentials in. They're no more than anybody you'd pick up off the street to talk about a topic.
Like Terrence Howard.
Yeah, who thinks that they, found something magical.
Right, but most people can go, this is entertaining, but bullshit. Why do you think people watch that Ancient Alien show? Yeah, how can any, I mean, there have to be people that believe that.
Right,
but
there have to be people that believe it. There have to be people that listen to the same thing that, you know, that Terrence was saying. And there were when we had that episode, we had people commenting on that thought he was, you know, he's a genius and he's all this.
I kind of agree with Tim on this one. We should all be smart enough as people to know that Joe Rogan and his guests are not the authority on knowledge. So it's kind of our job to go and research that stuff ourselves, right? If we're listening to it, if we find it interesting, if we go, you know, it's our job to research it ourselves, I believe. And I feel like the way misinformation can be combated is with more better information, not shutting somebody up. Because when you shut somebody up, that gives somebody the idea that there's a reason that they got shut up. Maybe they know something we don't. Do you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah. It causes confusion and people start thinking it's a conspiracy. So I think we're all pretty much like on the same page. Like when you watch the news and they will say things like, well, that's been debunked. But they never tell you who debunked it, and they don't cite any sources. They just say now debunked. And people don't read beyond the headlines for the most part. There are a lot of people who are a lot smarter than I am that do read beyond the headline, and they read six or seven different stories. But to go immediately out of the gate at Rogan like that guy did, you know, Rogan's just a goofball doing a podcast. And that's when you boil it all down, that's what it is. Maybe he has too much reach, but, you know, the marketplace decides. And people go to him to watch it because they don't want to watch a comedian hosting a talk show lecture them about getting vaccinated. I mean, that's the flip side of that. You know, you don't know everything that Stephen Colbert was talking about during the pandemic isn't necessarily the truth either. But he was getting a hell of a lot of money from Pfizer or Moderna and any of these companies. But I don't know. Just
absolutely.
I just think Rogan's just a goofball. And, you know, at the end, he could say, well, I don't know. He could say, I don't know. But does he have the capacity to do that? And I don't listen to those shows. If I don't know who the guest is, I'm usually not listening. Now I feel bad that we argued, Dustin. Will you hug me?
I'm sorry, Dustin.
Hey, it's all kayfabe. I'd Joe Rogan off in a heartbeat.
They announced today that Nate Bargatze is going to be hosting the Emmys.
That's good news.
Yeah.
A comedian that's funny hosting the Emmys.
He's a clean comedian, too.
I know.
I love him so much. He's so clever with being so simple. That's great.
You like that whole genre of these Nashville guys? It's Nate. I love Dusty. Dusty's my favorite out of all those guys. Dusty.
I love Dusty Slay. Yeah. I think he is so funny.
I do, too. Low-key funny. Always talking about the land. He and his wife, Hannah, do their podcast. He's coming to Atlanta, and I reached out to try to get an interview, but we'll see if that happens.
Nick Frost was cast as Hagrid,
yeah,
in the Harry Potter series.
That's awesome.
We talked about him circling the role, but he has been cast.
That's good news.
Nice.
He's a wizard, Harry. Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by two wonderful sponsors. The first one, Atlanta Pizza in Euro. Proudly serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years, Atlanta Pizza in Euro is the place to be this spring and summer. The restaurant and the food truck are in full swing for the season. Their featured beer of the month is Uno Mas Mexican-style lager from Firemaker Brewing. And they have all sorts of other good beers you can try. Plus, the food is amazing. They have great pizza. They have great Italian food. They have great Greek fare. And the staff is really nice. They closed all the things that we used to talk about, so you don't have to worry about that. They have amazing artwork on the wall, including drawings from a lot of our listeners and yours truly. And they got the best gyros, pizzas, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Stop by Monday through Friday, 11 to 9 p.m., Saturdays, 12 to 9 p.m., and closed on Sundays. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia from 7 to 8:30. Bring your smartest friends and test your trivia knowledge against the best Conyers has to offer. Also brought to you by LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. If you have a commercial or residential construction printing need, contact them right away. LDI Repro Printing has been in Athens since 2005, and that's 20 years. That's amazing. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call Brett and tell him we said that you did to call them. Call Brett and tell him you heard it on Radio Labyrinth. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment card.
Now we will read your YouTube comments. Please leave us comments. We love to read them and fill out the poll that we have.
Smoke my poll!
Have you seen the poll, Cougar?
Yeah, he doesn't need to see.
How do you know he doesn't smoke monkey poll, huh?
When you fill out the comments or you leave us a comment, we get to read them. And so that's what we're going to do now. Roby says, Corwin, that's his son, loved those silly car crash into character videos that my son now watches. And he didn't seem to have turned. And he. Hey, sorry, no edit, but he did seem to turn out right, is what he was saying. But then again, he didn't have a high-strung father who was prone to pollen. And okay, screw you. Can't help it that I am sensitive to pollen. And I'm less high-strung than I was a week ago, working on it. King Reno Band says, the White Lotus is following the True Detective trajectory. Still good, but sliding. Great show last week. Why did he say R.I.P. Val?
Val Kilmer.
Yeah, Val Kilmer show.
He's talking about Val and Hall. I'm like, what happened? No, I'm kidding. That makes sense. It tracks, as they say. But rest in peace, Wink Martindale.
Yeah.
Mickey Doodle says the bad guys have prevailed at the end of all three seasons of White Lotus. This last one was a little harder to take for obvious reasons, and last season at least had some vengeance along with misery. True. Fuxi says, I'm a standing wiper from a long line of standing wipers. Last week, Lizzie, we talked about men who wipe standing up.
Yes, I remember, and I don't understand that. How you get in that crack if you're standing up?
No one does.
The only person I've seen lately who gets wiped standing up is my son, because I have to wipe him. All right, we did two polls. What did you think of White Lotus Season 4's ending? Let's start with 10% said hated it, total blender. I get that. 20% loved it, wild ride. 30% said, meh, it was just okay. And 40% said, haven't watched it yet, but now I know too much, you spoiling losers. Cloned direwolves are real now. What should we bring back next? 0% said the saber-toothed tiger. And I think people are a little short-sighted, because think of that. They could take care of a lot of things. 17% said the woolly mammoth, which they are working on. 33% said Jerry Garcia. Way to go, Jerry. I'm behind that 100%. And 50% nothing. Stop playing God. Oh, you be quiet, you Luddites.
On this week's Text Impressions by Tim, I think you already mentioned him earlier in the show, Robert Patrick. But Robert Patrick as David Scottino from The Sopranos.
All right, here we go. Robert Patrick as Davey Scottino. Oh, come on. What are the chances of me getting close to a game like this again? Come on, let me sit in just once. Was that Frank Sinatra Jr. in there? Chrissy, hey, listen here, Chrissy. You pull that shit with me again, and I'm going to slide you under the front door like a puddle of murder. You think you can hide? I became the fucking wallpaper in the witness protection. I once stabbed a guy with my finger, and he thanked me for it. I don't eat, I don't sleep, and I sure as hell don't forget who skimmed off the top. Now give me my cut, or I'm turning your grandma's Buick into a flamethrower. Is that from a movie, or did you write it?
No, I wrote it. It was him talking like his character.
Talking about being Terminator.
Oh, that's right. Well, hopefully.
Now I get it. That's pretty good.
Yes. Thank you, Dustin. And, you know, since I'll never work on doing a Robert Patrick impression ever again, this is a useful segment for me. All right, everybody, we talked a little bit about the Gemstones already. That's the show we're all watching. Everybody watched the first episode of The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little slow, but not bad.
Yeah, it's going to take some time for me to get used to the time jump.
Yeah.
Same with me. I'm going to miss that father-daughter.
Yeah.
Wholesomeness.
Yeah. He's risen it up with the local chicks.
Yeah. But it's,
yeah. Yeah. You know, though, the one thing that strikes me is that in a real post-apocalyptic world, every single community would be run by somebody like Negan.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's nice that they have this place where everybody's like, hey, you know, we're all cool. Let's vote.
Yeah.
I think the mushrooms in the pipes are not a good plan or not a good.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. That's not looking too good. Or the runner that wasn't really a runner that like had thought that.
Yeah.
And, you know. Yeah.
How did they get in there, or were they already there?
They came in the pipes.
Yeah. They're just working their way where it's not cold.
Oh, good.
Cordyceps.
You know, you could max dose on those and improve your life. I've seen so many ads on TikTok.
His views.
Or.
Snooze.
Yeah, last week was Black Mirror, which I watched all of. Do you guys watch all of them?
Did not watch all of it, no.
The Paul Giamatti one is so fucking good. He's got to get an Emmy for that.
Who's he playing?
He's just playing this guy, and he dated this woman like 40, 50 years ago or something, and they're trying to put together a memorial for her, but like high tech, where they go into his memories. It was really good.
I've never seen Black Mirror, but I heard I should.
Yeah, so you should.
Maybe I'll pick that up. Isn't every season different Like, you don't have to watch every, the first season every to follow show the second.
Every show is like an anthology that they're all different.
Yeah. Okay. There's usually like three or like, yeah, like seven episodes, and they're all different stories. Every one is like a 1 hour, kind of like Twilight Zone, but they all have to do with the dark side of technology.
Yeah.
And if you're going to watch anything, watch the first episode of season one first.
It kind of sets. Okay, I will.
Sets the tone for the whole thing.
And the first episode of season seven is such a takedown on Netflix.
Yeah,
because it's like they get them hooked on a subscription, and then they keep raising the price and raising the price and raising the price.
Jeez,
it's weird they let them get away with that.
Yeah. All right. This week, Government Cheese. It's a new show on Apple TV. Mm-hmm. Looks pretty good. It's David Aiello. He's it's a period piece set in the 60s,
69.
It's about a recently released convict returning to home to his family in San Fernando Valley in 1969. Looks good. I'm going to give it reviews.
Is it worth buying Apple TV?
It just started today.
For Apple TV?
It just started today, so I haven't watched it yet, but I plan to. The Rehearsal Season 2, Nathan Fielder's show. Season 1 was real good at the rehearsal. Looking forward to Season 2. I like Nathan Fielder. And apparently this Season 2 is riddled with references to that show, The Curse, that he was on with Emma Stone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to view it. That starts on the 20th. And then Andor comes back for the final season on the 22nd. It was supposed to be 5 seasons long, but now it's 2 seasons long.
Well, hopefully it won't cram the story and make it bad, because the first season was awesome.
Yeah.
I watched some of the first season. It's a good show. I just don't ever. First, I don't have Disney. And second of all, I don't have a lot of time. Thank you, Jeff. We're going to do staff picks now. And I have to say thank you to TikTok, because I learned over the weekend, because of TikTok, that there was an April 1978 NBC television special called Ringo, starring Ringo Starr. He plays himself, as well as a nerdy, everyday kind of guy named Ognir Ratz, which is his name spelled backwards. They swap places and hijinks ensue. George Harrison is the narrator. There are guest stars. All these are TV people. Art Carney, Carrie Fisher, who at the time was writing Star Wars. John Ritter plays Ringo's agent. He's very funny. Vincent Price and Angie Dickinson are both in it as well. Art Carney is funny. He's just like this jerk dad to Ognir. It was written by Neil Israel and Pat Proft, who would go on to write Police Academy, Bachelor Party, Real Genius, and were writers on the Naked Gun movies. And you can watch that on YouTube, because it's there. That's where I watched it.
Yeah, but I'm going to watch that.
I thought it would be horrible. Ritter's hilarious in it, because he's sort of a little smarmy type guy. But I never knew this existed. I don't remember it being on. I don't ever remember it being rerun. Yeah, I
never even heard about it.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool. That's my staff pick.
Mine is that new Sherlock and Daughter series starts on the CW tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's Remus Lupin playing Sherlock. I'm going to check it out. I like him.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Is this... Who owns the CW? Warner Brothers?
Sure.
I want to know who has the rights to Sherlock Holmes, really.
I think that's in the public domain now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. I typed who owns
Remus. Nextar.
Nextar. Okay. Lizzie, do you have one?
Love Gilda. It's a documentary about Gilda Radner. It's on Prime. It's been out for a while. It's one of my favorites. But what it includes is like her personal diary entries about her time.
All the people reading the diary entries were really good.
Yes, for sure. It's a really good documentary. It's really good. And you just love her even more after watching it. And how she carried SNL on her back for years, you know, and made it what it is today. So.
Are there a lot of clips and things and video clips from other shows and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is. There's her coming up. There's personal video of them all hanging out before even Saturday Night Live existed, like Martin Short, her, you know, all these people. And then they have like interviews with her and in her, you know, after she left Saturday Night Live. And it's just cool because it's followed up with all these journal entries. So it's nice.
Well, thank you. Dustin, how about you?
Yeah, I've got one. It's on AMC or Shudder right now. It's called The Rule of Jenny Pin. And it is John Lithgow and Jeffrey Rush. And it was filmed in New Zealand. It was an independent film. But it's basically Jeffrey Rush gets sent to an old folks home. And John Lithgow is there. And come to find out, when the lights go out, John Lithgow has this baby doll that he carries around that's called Jenny Pen. And basically terrorizes all the rest of the people that live there. He's like this evil guy that terrorizes all these old people.
Wow.
That he's living with. And he does an amazing job. Jeffrey Rush, is an amazing actor anyway. He does a really good job as the main character who's been thrown into this situation. But yeah, it's called The Rule of Jenny Pen.
Like a dark comedy or?
Oh, it's like a horror movie.
It's a horror movie.
Yeah. It's a horror movie.
Two-time Radio Labyrinth guest Maka Puatu is in it as well.
Yep.
So that is a good recommendation. All right, guys, thank you. Listen, every week I release an audio-only Radio Labyrinth associated adjacent show called Trambles. And this week you can hear me do my Bernie impression for 20 minutes before my voice started to hurt about Bernie having a fun time talking to the kids at Coachella about tariffs.
Did he get to see Weird Al set?
No, he didn't. He was just talking about the tariffs. He stopped by the OnlyFans tent.
Was he shucking his mulberry douche or whatever he was?
No, you're just going to have to listen because he goes into his goon yurt.
Goon yurt.
Yes. And all sorts of hijinks ensue. And yeah, I enjoy doing that show, and that usually comes out on Tuesdays, only in the audio feed of Radio Labyrinth. On the podcast this week I'll have Pat Boone, 90-year-old Pat Boone, and a whole bunch of other guests. I spoke to comedian Jessica Kirsten today. She's really funny. I didn't know she worked for this
show. I love Jessica Kirsten.
Yeah, I love her too.
I love her. Sorry.
I've seen her clips a bunch. And I've always thought she's a funny stand-up comedian. I had no idea she was on Stern doing prank calls, so I know I need to do a deep dive into that because I love all the prank calls on Stern. And we ended up talking quite a bit about prank phone calls, and then I didn't have anything else to talk to her about, so I just ran out of gas. But I got a whole bunch of people coming up, but she's fantastic, and I'm working on Jeff Garlin. Would like to get him on. Oh, and by the way, that's what they should call the Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast. Oh, and by the way, because he keeps interrupting Susie Essman. Let's see. That radio show airs 7 p.m. on Saturdays on WSB, and the podcast exists out there. It's called the Tim Andrews Popcast. I want to thank all of our Patreon producers. These are the people who come in at the $25 a month level. You're slowly dwindling, but you people who are stalwarts and are staying with us, we love you so much. Listen, we have new tiers. Everything is sort of unfolding as it happens. We're still doing the live after show, but, you know, in May sometime that is going to just be for Patreon members only. And you can also submit stuff for text impressions to Tim. But anyway, I just want to thank our patreon.com/Tim Andrews. I just used my old accent. If you do sign up, don't use the Apple app because they steal your money. Apple steals your money.
Yeah, go to the website.
Yes, go to the website. Producers at the $25 level, though, you guys get a T-shirt, and there are some new things you can go check out, and you get but most importantly, a producer credit because you produced the show. John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D., Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and DJ Chelsea Smith. So thank you guys very much. Remember to like and rate and review us on whatever app you watch us on. If you're on YouTube, like and subscribe and turn on that little bell that tells you when the show is ready to go. Share with your friends. And if you do comment on iTunes or Spotify or something, let us know so we can read it. All right. Thank you very much. So until next week, please remember to
Keep it canon.
Oh, when you say all good things come to an end,
what's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the Radio.